tipped in the air and knocked away. KU's got to win it. Blah, big time two-hand slam by Hunter Dickinson.
Kansas is the 2023 WNIT champions.
This is the Jayhawker Podcast, presented by the University of Kansas Health System.
Well, here we are again for another edition of the Jayhawker Podcast. I am Greg Gurley, along with Wayne Simeon. Jayhawker Podcast brought to you by the University of Kansas Health System and Black and Veatch. And what a couple weeks it's been for Kansas athletics, and more specifically Kansas football. The big boy upset at home against a fifth-ranked Oklahoma Sooners, led by our guest Jason Bean, and then follow that up, first back-to-back wins in the conference in a long, long time, and we owe it all, or a lot of it, to Jason Bean. Jason, welcome to the Jayhawker Podcast. You having fun yet?
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me.
Well, let's talk a little bit about your journey in this day and age of collegiate sports, the opportunity to come and go as you please, basically. And, you know, all the hype was about Jalen Daniels, and I'm sure you had opportunities to go other places, and you said, hey, I like what we're building here. I like what we did last year, and there's only better things to come. And you said, I'm sticking with it. And you came back, and one of the greatest decisions, I'm sure, in your life and for all of us KU fans. So let me be the first to say, and Wayne would agree with me, thank you for coming back, and how much fun are you having right now?
Well, first off, I want to say, you know, thanks again, you know, just for, you know, the continued support that everybody's been showing me this year, and, you know, just the support that they've been showing this team. It means a lot to us as players, and then, you know, it just makes us practice a little bit easier, you know, to go to and, you know, continue to go out there and play for each other and play for the teams.
Bean, my man. Hey, let's talk about these receipts I got, all right? Early September, I hit you up, shot you a message, stay ready, your time is coming. And you hit me with the double 100%, yes, sir. And just thinking about the end of last season at the Liberty Bowl, between your first start this year, what was your mindset, your mental makeup in terms of being able to stay sharp, stay ready, not just waiting for your moment, working towards your moment, and then once you got it, to be able to put out historical performances?
Well, you know, one reason of me coming back this year was just to continue to better myself and in whatever way help this team. And, you know, I knew what the situation was with, you know, all of the hype surrounding Jalen and, you know, how much of a dynamic player he is. And, you know, I knew that I could, you know, learn from him, his play, you know, continue to learn from these coaches and just the way that they go about things. And, you know, I think that has helped me, you know, stay sharp and, you know, help me stay ready for, you know, situations like, you know, the first game of the season when I had to come in and start, and then, you know, when Jalen goes down again earlier in the season, you know, just to be able to stay sharp mentally and, you know, make these guys have supreme confidence in me because I know that I'm know what I'm supposed to do.
Well, let's go back several weeks ago when you guys are in Austin, Texas, and you game plan all week for one guy, and then it turns out that it can't play, and you're told, hey, we're in Austin, Texas just beat Oklahoma, we need you to go, you're our guy. How about your mindset, your mental makeup of preparing for that or not preparing for that, and not that you weren't prepared, but you kind of thought Jalen was going to play, and then all of a sudden you get pressed into duty.
I'm not going to lie. It's one of the toughest things I've ever had to, you know, endure and go through. But, you know, it really doesn't matter at the end of the day. You know, nobody really cares. Texas didn't care, you know, how much time I had to prepare. And, you know, honestly, you know, my job is to be ready whenever my name is called. And, you know, I feel like I could have, you know, performed a little bit better that week. And, you know, I feel like I should have performed better. But, you know, the past is the past. I learned from my mistakes that week. And, you know, I wanted to make sure that this team, you know, didn't take any dips whenever I got in there at quarterback. You know, I just wanted us to continue to, you know, elevate and rise and, you know, continue to get better each and every day.
You're so gifted offensively. have a variety of weapons. Of course, we've seen the speed. We've known about the speed all the way since your high school state track days, and we got a chance to relive that against OU. Of course, you're a deep ball threat, and we've seen some incredible pass. Man, how about that pass to Skinner up there in Ames, but also can throw the fastball right up the middle. What is your favorite offensive tool to use when you're in and out there?
I would have to say the deep ball. You know, just letting those guys get out there and run as fast as they can, and you know, just do what they do best. You know, I feel like that's when our offense is at our best, when other guys are making plays, you know, doing what they're supposed to, you know, knowing what they're supposed to do, and you know, just executing on all levels. You know, I feel like this offense is we're so diverse, and we have so many different guys that can make different plays at, you know, any given time. And you know, I think this whole year has been a testament to that, just because of, you know, how many different guys have touchdowns, how many guys have yards, and you know, just how explosive our offense has been.
You know, I'm going to bring something up, and it's probably not a great memory, but I'm a big believer in nothing great is ever accomplished until you go through some adversity. And we look at the fourth quarter in Stillwater where we struggled and we lose the game. And then, you know, just a couple weeks later, we're at home. The fourth quarter wasn't going the way you wanted it to go, but I want you to take us through your mindset. We had just thrown an interception. Our defense got us the ball back, and you led us on the drive to upset number 5 Oklahoma. So just talk about where you were at mentally in Stillwater, where you were at mentally at home against Oklahoma, and then to rise up and have such an incredible drive against Oklahoma to seal the biggest win in a long, long time for Kansas.
Yeah, you know, it was very disappointing, you know, the way that we finished that Oklahoma State game, you know, for me personally. And, you know, we had 2 weeks to, you know, prepare for that Oklahoma game. And that was one of the things I really wanted to focus on myself was, you know, being resilient whenever things don't go my way or whenever things don't go the offense's way. You know, just trying to focus on that the whole week and try to prepare for that. And then, you know, I was pleased with the way that I did perform the OU game, that, you know, that last drive, just being able to, you know, throw those two picks late in the game, you know, and still have that chance and come out and execute. You know, I think that was really big for me personally. And, you know, I think it was even bigger for the guys to see that, you know, tough times don't always last and you can overcome anything.
You know, a lot of attention is made up, and rightfully so, of that big upset against OU. But, I mean, that was an impressive win, shutting the door in the face of the Cyclones on Saturday. And, you know, Ames, Iowa is a difficult place to win anything, especially a football game. And, man, they were reeling and clawing their way back on the road. Talk to us about how important that win was, and then what are you doing to get prepared for Tech? Because we know what's looming on the other side of Tech, that classic in-state rivalry. But what are you guys doing to focus on Tech to make sure that that you don't overlook them and miss out on an opportunity?
Yeah, well, you know, first off, this past weekend, it was huge. You know, just to be able to, you know, come off of a big win in Oklahoma and, you know, come out and execute, you know, perfectly on offense, you know, just the way that we wanted to. And, you know, I feel like the defense played a heck of a game. You know, they played their tails off all night. And, you know, I was very pleased with the way that they played. And they made playing offense a little less stressful that night. You know, it was huge for them. And, I mean, I even told them in the locker room after the game how proud I was of them, you know, just because of the way that they played. I feel like that was their best, you know, all around game, you know, as a, you know, full four quarters of the season. And, you know, I feel like they can only build off that, you know, going into this Tech week. You know, they know well, and, you know, I have the supreme confidence in the defense.
So many pivotal plays in that game. I mean, I look back to the catch on the sideline that didn't get us any points, but it ended up being the number two play all day on SportsCenter. Just an unbelievable catch. And then I thought another great video was our Rock Chalk video staff captured you guys on the bench after Iowa State got within 3. And you guys all grabbed your helmets. You kind of looked at each other like, all right, let's go. And what did you do? From the 25-yard line after a touchback, you dial it up, 75-yard touchdown pass, and just shut everybody up. And last thing, you've been to Ames before. Have you ever heard a fan base boo more than they think the world's against them? It had to be a difficult atmosphere, but that's an angry bunch in Ames, Iowa, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. You know, just Our defense, you know, they gave up a touchdown. It was one of the few that night. And I feel like the offense, we just kind of knew exactly what we had to do going out there. We went out there, we executed the O-line, played it perfectly. LJ ran a perfect route, and, I just had to get on the ball. And, I got it to him, and he was able to go finish. I think that was kind of big for, the defense, just to see that we can go out there and score at any point in time. And, it was definitely loud before that play. And, just off the touchdown, it was extremely loud. And it felt good to be able to silence a crowd of that magnitude and, that many people out there in such a great environment like that. It just felt good as an offense to be able to, silence that crowd. And, I think that was a really big thing for us at the end of that game.
The culture shift is obvious in Kansas football, and you were there from the very beginning, but it's incredible how fast it's accelerated. And what were one or two things that really helped buy in take place right away, even when you hadn't quite seen the results that you guys had hoped for, even coming in with the new coaching staff?
I think the biggest thing that this team has done, over these past 2 years is just believe. Believe in the ways that Coach Leipold is preaching. Believe in the workouts that we have each and every day, believing in the practice schedule, believing in the treatment, believing in one another. I think that's been the biggest thing this team has really, really done well is believe. And, I feel like that's one thing that we'll continue to do is believe. And, because it's only served us well. It's gotten us in the right direction, and, I think we'll continue to push us in the right direction.
Our fan base has struggled throughout the years with support and all that, and everybody's like, okay, we make the bowl game last year. But you guys, talk about your locker room. Like, it wasn't just about becoming bowl eligible. It was about winning 8, 9, 10 games, and that's exactly where you're at right now. It's 7-2, have an opportunity where going to be favored this weekend at home. Then you get K-State at home and then go to Cincinnati. And so talk about what you guys talk about in the locker room. Like, it's one thing what the fan base believes, but what was it like as a unit all throughout the summer and spring practice? Like, hey, we got the makeup, we got the tools to be a double-digit win team, right?
Mm-hmm. Coach Leipold talked about it earlier this week. Just talking about how these last three games of the season will really determine, the direction of this program. I think that we have a heck of an opportunity these last three games, just to be able to, continue to better ourselves and better our record for, that bowl game that is to come and, potentially play in a Big 12 championship. This team has, a lot of high goals for ourselves, and we've worked hard enough in the offseason to be able to accomplish those goals. And, we're starting to see them, come to fruition right before our eyes.
Yeah, 2 years ago when we had the big win against Texas, and then we were competitive in the last two games. But that can't be the goal anymore, because that was a maturation of our program. But like you just said, and what Coach Leipold and everybody else says, is these next three games will define your place in history. And, we've talked so much about the 08 team and what they did. And you guys have a real chance for the 2023 edition to not just make the Liberty Bowl, to make, the Big 12 championship game, and who knows after that. So that's what has got everyone so excited, and I know you guys are as well.
Yeah, for sure. Like I said, all of our goals are right in front of us. We control – what happens, as long as we go out there, prepare each and every day, listen to what the coaches are coaching us on. And, don't shy away from criticism, running into criticism and being able to, fix what we need to fix so that we can go out there and play free from this and physical.
With the way that you've been playing these last several weeks, of course, it's getting a lot of attention from all the fans and David Booth Kansas Memorial Stadium and bowl committees and NFL scouts. But one thing that comes to mind is, as a father of three young boys, now I've got kids playing football in the front yard, saying your name, making throws. Oh, Jason Bean. What would you say to the young youth athlete that is working their way through confidence, playing time, and just different things like that as a young athlete?
First thing I would always say is just to be humble. Be thankful for the gifts that you were given from God, and continue to use those gifts to help others and you know, in return by helping others, you know, you'll be able to help yourself and continue to, you know, elevate your own self. And I think that's the biggest thing that's helped me in my college career and football career, staying humble. And, you know, I think that is, you know, the biggest advice I could give to anyone is just staying humble.
Yeah, and you're such a great role model for kids of all types that patience is something that I don't think athletes use anymore. I think everybody, the grass is always greener somewhere else. There's more money, there's more playing time, whatever it is. But you come into this season knowing that Jalen's a Heisman hopeful and is probably going to, if healthy, going to play every snap, right? And you still stick it out, understanding how important the backup is that is now the star. And I think that really needs to be discussed more because, you know, where would we be without Jason Bean right now? I mean, I love it. It's such a great story, and you're such an outstanding role model for all kids. And you've showed perseverance and patience. And man, as a lifelong KU athletics fan, I just love what you've done and how you demonstrated how to be a leader.
I first want to just thank you for that praise. You know, it means a lot. And, you know, I definitely take pride in you know, going about the way the things that I do. And, you know, one of the reasons I wanted to come back is just, you know, because what an opportunity it is here. You know, the coaching staff is unbelievable. You know, the players here were so close and, you know, on and off the field. And, you know, I'm blessed with the opportunity to be here at KU, you know, such a prestigious school. Not a lot of people get the opportunity to come here and, you know, be in an athletics program like this. You know, we got a basketball program that's, you know, number one in the country right now. So just to be around this place and, you know, just to be able to walk into this building and be around these guys every day is such a blessing. And, you know, it's something that I'll forever be thankful for. And, you know, I'm definitely happy that I came back this year just to be able to be a part of this team and be a part of this program.
Well, how cool is it? You know, you get to work every day with Daryl Stuckey and others, but then to see Aqib Talib and Chris Harris and Todd Reese, and you see how they're revered. And you mentioned it, you know, obviously a school that basketball is such a tradition-rich program, and you see how basketball players are revered. But how much of it in watching how those guys are treated when they come back from that 08 team and in that era when Kansas football was up, does that resonate with you and your teammates? Like, hey, we can do it here, and we're going to be known for the rest of our life. 10 years from now, when you come back to Lawrence, it's going to, trust me, as a former player, you're going to love it. And but how much do you guys, as 22-year-olds or whatever you are, looking at how these guys are treated, do you look at it that way and absorb that?
Yeah, definitely. You know, it's just cool to see those guys come back and want to come back. You know, I feel like we're putting this program in a position to where we're making the guys that have come before us happy. And, you know, I feel like that's one of the reasons that I continue to, you know, want to elevate this program is just to, you know, make those guys on that 08 team or, you know, teams before, coaches before, just to make them want to come back and not feel like they have to come back just because they have, you know, some recognition that they're getting or, you know, something like that. But I feel like, you know, to have these guys coming back and watching us, you know, perform is such a huge thing for us. And, you know, it builds confidence for us just to know that, you know, guys are supporting us. And, you know, I think that's a huge thing just for, you know, old players that have, you know, either graduated here or, you know, are no longer here just to come back and support us. It means a lot.
We got a chance to hear from one of your teammates earlier in our record several weeks ago. And he says that you guys have been spending a lot of time together. It almost kind of seems like an odd couple because he's from the defensive side of the football. And so Rich Miller was letting us know how you guys like to spend a little bit of time together in a way that you kind of unplug from football and maybe recharge your batteries is on the golf course. So we heard his side of the story. We heard who he thinks the best golfer in that group. Tell us a little bit about that unique dynamic with you and Rich and the hobby that you guys share.
Yeah, well, you know, Rich has been one of those guys that I've been close to ever since I got here. You know, we got here at the same time, and you know, I feel like that relationship has only grown ever since we, you know, we first said hello to each other. You know, I feel like it's kind of refreshing just to be, you know, that close with somebody on the other side of the ball because you get to hear different perspectives, you know, from practice and, you know, different things that coaches are saying and stuff that's going on in practice. I feel like it's kind of a, you know, it's a breath of fresh air just to be able to hear something new. And, you know, we actually just went golfing yesterday after practice and, you know, it's always nice just to get out there with teammates and, you know, just to get away from football for a little bit, just to, you know, release the mind and, you know, just to get your mind on other things.
Well, I have no doubt that the booth will be packed, but I want you to be a spokesman. I want you to tell our listening audience how important it is to you and your teammates and your coaches and everybody part of the football family, how much adrenaline and energy you get. And it's 11 a.m. game, which isn't optimal, but let's get the student population has been so good all year, and we got to make sure they get there early and go from the first row up to the 60th there on the east side. Because just talk about how excited and how much extra juice that gives you to have that home field advantage in one of the greatest settings in college football.
Well, first off, I want to thank, you know, everybody that has supported us this season and come to the games, you know, especially the Oklahoma game when it was cold and rainy. And, you know, I want to thank all the fans for sticking it out through that whole game just to, you know, see the ending and who we went. You know, I feel like it's such an advantage for, you know, the home team just to have, you know, a sold out stadium and they have a lot of people there. It's very tough, especially for our offense, you know, in the crowd and every, you know, there's 40,000 people screaming. It's definitely tough on an offense to, you know, to operate in an environment like that. And you know, we definitely need you out there. And you know, thank you for real.
Well, I, for one, I'm speaking for Wayne, too. We work at Kansas Athletics. We're excited, and hopefully we're still working here 5 years, 10 years, 15 years from now to welcome you back as a former player and honor you as the guy that led us to a 10-11 win season and a big-time bowl victory. And I want you to be able to experience what Todd Reesing and Aqib Talib and Chris Harris and all those guys feel, because it is – it's a special community, special family, and everybody says they have that across the country, but Wayne and I experience it every day, and you're one of us, and we're excited for this Saturday. We're excited for the future of Kansas football, of the foundation that you guys have built in this new chapter. So appreciate you. Good luck on Saturday and moving forward, and rock chalk.
Yes, sir. Thanks again for having me. Thank you.
Jason Bean, big man on campus right now in Lawrence, Kansas, led us to that massive victory against Oklahoma, followed up with the Iowa State, and what a great personality, and so fortunate to have him on and hear his takes. Just a good dude.
Yeah, it's really interesting just seeing his personality and his demeanor there in that interview. It's no reason that a guy like that does not get shook in a big environment, does not get shook in a 4th-and-20 situation, 2 minutes left against OU, where the winning probability was 99.9% in favor of OU, and the guy throws a dime right down the pipe to keep that drive alive and go on to eventually win that. Man, I love the cool and calm collective attitude that he has, and I'll tell you what, if I was a receiver or O-lineman or whoever and I was in the huddle with that guy, he'd give me a dose of confidence that to have ice in my veins when the stakes were the highest, and that's certainly the way that the Hawks have been playing as of late.
Those probability things, I'm glad you brought it up. I look at those and I'm like, who are the people that are – I mean, okay, true, 99.9, I get it. How hard is that to come up with?
Oh, yeah.
Is there a science to it, or is it just a couple of dudes
probably
in a
some
conference
algorithm
room?
Probably no dudes. Probably some type of algorithm. But, you know, I actually appreciate it. I took a screenshot of it. I've got it on my cell phone. I showed my kids. Like, I think it's some good motivational.
I would not have expected you to be such an analytics guy. Is that analytics? I don't even know.
I wouldn't call it real analytics, because someone's doing the analytics for you. I just took a screenshot of what was on there. And so I liked it. Hey, get you that. This notion of, hey, never give up. Don't quit. It ain't over with until there's all zeros on the clock.
Hey, whatever motivates you, that's great. I'm you're an old school guy. I just find that interesting that you look at that.
I'm old school.
What? Are you not?
I thought in comparison to you.
All the conversations we have, we're pretty similar in our beliefs of like, hey, best man's going to win. And I don't get those probability stuff, and I'm not an analytics guy either.
Okay, that's fair.
This is one that I don't quite understand. Mm-hmm. When a team's up 14 in football and they score, or they're down 14 and they score a touchdown and they go for two, that seems dumb to me.
Probably analytics thing.
Well, I know, but like the other night, I think it was the Bills and the Bengals. okay, the Bills are on the road. They score a touchdown. They're down 28-14. They get a touchdown. Then they go for two, and they actually got it. But I think it was the Bills. Whoever it was just odd. I don't understand why you don't just kick the field goal.
Hey, there was no love lost there because I'm not a Bills fan for obvious reasons. And it was interesting. We were watching the finish of that game in the team room getting ready for a meeting. And you know who's one of the biggest Bills fans? Hunter Dickinson came down in not Jared Allen.
Yeah, Josh Allen.
Yeah, Josh Allen. In the Josh Allen jersey, strutting. They were down, but, man, he was strutting and showing off that jersey. So I respect the fanhood and loyalty he has, but love lost Hunt's here been bugging me for the Chiefs.
Hunt's been bugging me to go to Arrowhead when we play the Bills. I'm like, so you want me to set you up with, you know, find somebody and you show up in a Bills jersey to Arrowhead? You're already kind of a disliked guy. You go there in a Josh Allen jersey to Arrowhead, you better have
it. Doesn't matter how many threes in a row you hit at Allen Fieldhouse.
I go, hello, yeah. Hunt.
Yeah, safety issues over there at Arrowhead for the big fella. Don't do it.
What a great guest having Jason Bean on. Jayhawker Podcast brought to you by the University of Kansas Health System and Black & Veatch. Take ownership of your career, your future, and your success. Learn more at bv.com/careers. Black & Veatch, great sponsor of this podcast. I think we'll take a quick break and then come back and talk a lot. We got more volleyball talk. Both our golf teams have finished up for the fall. And obviously, basketball, men's and women's basketball, coming off a huge win last night, a dominating performance in the first ever McClendon Classic. This is the Jayhawker Podcast.
I had this patient. His cancer treatment had him in the hospital for a while. One day, he was telling me about his grandson and how a big night was coming up for him. So we arranged to make it a big night for my patient, too. I sometimes wonder if I'm doing all I can. Then I help make a moment like this possible, and I know I am.
Welcome back to the Jayhawker Podcast. Along with Wayne Simeon, I am Greg Gurley. Just had Jason Bean on the pod, and what a great guy. Ice in his veins, never gets rattled. Even after, you know, I'm glad we talked about, you know, I hated to bring up the fourth quarter of the Oklahoma State game, but I truly believe, just like our former coach Roy Williams and Bill, everybody says, hey, nothing great is going to be accomplished until you go through some tough times. I don't believe that the 08 basketball team was going to win it all unless they had that adversity the year before. They were great. They powered through it and win a national title. It's the same way with our basketball team in 22. We lose by 31 to USC, and that was doom and gloom time, but they all kind of picked themselves up and came out the next year and win a national title. Jason Bean throws a couple interceptions against Oklahoma, bad ones. He'll be the first to admit it. And then when it was fourth down and he needed to make a throw, hit him right in the chest for 28 yards or whatever it is, got us in the red zone and ended up beating Oklahoma. So I'm glad he looked at it the way I did. I didn't want to make him uncomfortable, but I truly believe that, and it's shown on the field. Now they have the ability to control their own destiny. Texas Tech at home, K-State at home, and then go on the road to Cincinnati, all winnable games. And with this team, everyone's a winnable game, but have an opportunity to get 8 wins, 9 wins, 10 wins, and obviously 11 if we win the bowl game, and that can be a magical season.
Yeah, it could be really great, and it was awesome to be able to have him on. And you know, you think about the difficult adversity things that you're talking about, but how important is it to have a short memory? How important is it to think next play? How important of it? And he gave the defense a ton of credit to have a defense that gets you the ball back even after you've made what seems to be like a game-ending type of mistake. And you know, guess what? We know in these next 3-4 games that are coming up for the Hawks, there's going to be plenty more of that adversity. Because guess what? It's competition, and everyone's trying to win the game, all right? The team in the other jerseys on the other side of the ball, it's their job to make things difficult for Jason Bean and company. And so they're going to need a lot more of that grit and that toughness and that resiliency moving down the rest of the season.
Because as you know, nobody feels sorry for you. Your teammates don't. Obviously, the guys you're playing don't. I'm glad that our guys don't look at social media during the game, because as you're looking at it, I had friends texting me after the two interceptions in the Oklahoma game, and I didn't read it until after the game, and then it said, never mind, forget my last text, Bean's awesome. And you're like, so everyone is going to be – no one's on your side until you do something successful. So, man, it was just so cool to see the maturation of the program, getting us, you know, ranked in the top 20 in November. I mean, when was the last time that happened? So
and getting a win, because there was a little sentiment like, hey, we had breached the top 25 a few times this year, but have never quite been able to put a win together on the other side of it.
And
it was nice to be able to see that.
You know, Brian Borland, we had him on, the defensive coordinator, last week, and we talked about how our schedule compared to other teams in the Big 12, because of the unbalanced schedule, we've had a tough go. And in September, it didn't look like it was going to be that tough because Oklahoma State lost to South Alabama. Iowa State dropped a couple that they wouldn't normally drop. But when we played them, they were both on a roll. Like, again, we would have loved to have played them in September, especially Oklahoma State, right? But we didn't. And so having that perseverance and getting back-to-back wins, just huge. So 11 a.m. Saturday morning, Texas Tech comes to town.
Weather got nice again. No more cold and rainy. We got fall back in the Kansas City area.
Perfect weather. Mm-hmm. I don't doubt a lot of students watch this podcast, but we need that student population there. We need 50,000 strong in David Booth Memorial Stadium. And it's going to be my last game at Memorial Stadium, because I won't be here for the K-State game. So obviously a basketball guy, but I love Kansas football. I haven't missed a game that hasn't interfered with basketball in many, many years. So I'm very frustrated. I'm going to miss that K-State game, but I don't think everyone's going to feel super sorry for me, as I will be in Honolulu. I promise if I send any picks back, I will have a shirt on.
Hey, you handle your business out there in Honolulu and bring back that championship surfboard, and I'll hang here with the football team and hopefully cheer them on to a big win against K-State.
I thought last thing on the football front that's cool is that a lot of people don't realize this about Wayne, is that Wayne is so important to our basketball team or football team, anybody in Kansas athletics. And just like you talked about texting Jason Bean, hey, be ready. And I think everybody looks up to you in that regard. And again, everybody thinks it's just basketball, but it's not. You're an all-encompassing. Everybody looks up to you. So I think I deserve a ton of credit keeping our guys and our gals focused. And you give them a mentality that, okay, I need – sometimes, you know, Jason Bean's not from here and his family. I get a little homesick, and looking at you as a kind of a father figure, an uncle figure, whatever, helps everybody involved. So,
yeah, well, I'm not sure Jason sees me quite in that light, but hopefully he does. Because
you don't feel like you're that old?
You're
40.
Well, hopefully at the very least, you know, he and other student-athletes feel like, hey, someone that would have the luxury, very much like you, just to stay fully focused on Kansas basketball, is highly invested in their success, because we want all things Kansas to be at the top of the competitive charts. And you know what? Just even as you think about conference realignment, and, man, this is the way I feel. You know, with Texas and OU leaving, who have been dominant in several athletic categories for decades, with them leaving, there's kind of an open seat, not just for one or two programs, but for the entirety of athletic competition. And this is my thought. Why not us?
Why not?
Why not Kansas? When you think about the other eight schools coming in, there's no one coming in that – maybe is as dominant as Texas or OU has been, and whether in softball or football or swim dive or different things like that. And so this is the time for us to be significantly positioned at the top of the food chain, not just in basketball, not just in the occasional football run, not just in volleyball, and Ray Bouchard's got his girls playing phenomenal right now, but in every category. Why not us? We're competitors, right? That's what we naturally want to think of. We want to win everything.
And I think over the last 12-plus years, the talk has been the race to the middle, and to your point, that's not it anymore. And Texas and OU are out. They're going to be out. I love the fact that Oklahoma State beat Oklahoma in their last bedlam for a long, long time. And, you know, now they're starting to see what we experienced with Missouri when they left for the SEC. And we said, all right, Oklahoma State's behaving exactly the way we did. It's like, all right, you want to go? Fine. I don't play anymore. That's what Mike Gundy says. Maybe we'll meet you in a bowl, but it is what it is. You decided to leave. All right, we'll be fine without you. It was a great rivalry, and you're the one that left. We're staying. I mean, Oklahoma State's staying in the Big 12. We're staying in the Big 12. So I think it's in a good spot. No question about it. You brought it up, and I completely agree. We've always been there in basketball, but there's no better time in Kansas athletics right now as a whole.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to get a new stadium. You know, start of the brand new conference in 20 months, we're going to have a brand new stadium. Our facilities are off the charts. Our coaches are off. Everything right now, it's a great time to be a Jayhawk. We got the big fundraising campaign that all Jayhawks need to step up. And what a better time than now? I mean, fair weather fans, be a part of something special. It's a much easier time to be involved in Kansas athletics than it was 8 years ago, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
on all fronts.
No excuses. Yeah. So, we talked about it with Dan Martin that don't feel like you got to give an anonymous $15 million gift. We'll take it and we'll welcome it. You and I both will fly to wherever you're at to pick that check up. But the average check in the last fundraising campaign was what? Under $1,000. It was like $700 and some change or whatever. And to get to $1.6 billion. And now we're double that basically. And it's probably going to be pretty similar. But you need those big checks as well. Last night, a lot of fun. Played North Carolina Central in the first ever McClendon Classic, playing in HBCU, and what a great opponent because of the history with John McClendon. Yeah. And John McClendon, as for those of you that don't know, is credited with as being the inventor of the fast break, the four corners, and the press. Last night, we played really fast, and I think it was a great honor to John McClendon, not necessarily against his alma mater, probably didn't like seeing that, but we played fast, we played efficient, didn't press, but we didn't need to, get a rebound and we would go. And then what has been the big bugaboo in Champaign and at home against Fort Hays State? No shooting. All right, you made fun of me because I just talked about analytics and I'm reading a stat sheet here. But, and I think it's a little bit different. It's
probabilities. Yeah, we had to define terms.
How about last night? We go 13 of 23 beyond the arc, 39 of 56 from the field. We shoot 70%, 69.6% from the field. And that's with the Red Rockets, which were catching a lot of flack last night, our walk-ons and the guys that were in there at the end of the game.
That couldn't get to 100.
Couldn't get to 100. I was offering free corn dogs to the radio listening public. You were on the air doing television with Stephen Davis. Did you offer anything up if we had 100?
Didn't offer anything up, but
what movie is the free corn dogs from?
I got a semi-pro.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. And who won it? It was Kelly from Bad News Bears.
Yes.
Remember?
Yeah.
Are you Bad
I
News
thought he
Bears?
Won a check.
Well, he won a check. I'm sorry. He won the check. The crowd won the corn dogs,
Got
but
it.
Kelly won the check that, of course, Jackie Moon did not have. Thank you for correcting me because I would have looked dumb, dumber than I normally look. But last night, dominating performance. Hunter Dickinson came out like a man on fire. Missed his first shot, which was an offensive rebound kind of tip. And then made his next eight, including three three-pointers. And if he can do that, obviously it's take a look at who you're playing, and this is no offense to them, but a week from today we play Kentucky. It's going to be different. But if that's our measuring stick, I think you got to be pretty excited for the year for Hunter Dickinson.
For sure, for sure. I mean, great start for he and the guys. You got to love it because both his parents were there last night in his Jayhawk debut. Thinking about how dynamic that was. I thought it was pretty cool that he worked his way out, started with the easy putback bucket in the paint, hit the short mid-range
yep.
jumper, his next shot, and then came out and hit two threes in a row, which was really cool. And it was good to see the basketball going for some of those guys, but I think the most important shooting performance that we saw last night wasn't necessarily by Hunter, even though it was very impressive, but he's a big guy. He's going to get several of those. But by Nick Timberlake.
Yes, totally agree.
Okay. It was so important for him to see the ball go in because, he was recruited here to do just that. And he doesn't quite have the ability to control or change a game other than his three-point shooting. Hunter can do it with his passing. He can do it with his rebounding. He can do it by protecting the rim. Kevin McCullough can affect the game multiple ways. The main way that Nick Timberlake can affect the game is by making open corner threes. And then when that doesn't happen, when you can't affect the game in other ways, it really affects your confidence. And so it was great to be able to see him knock a few down, couple quick flick, baseline drive, baseline drift. And so I was really, really encouraged to see that. And I think it'll be helpful. Now, you and I both know that there aren't going to be many shooting performances like that throughout the year.
Agreed. Right. If there is, we're the best team in the country.
As,
and no one's
as
be
big
this.
As that basket was last night in Allen Fieldhouse, we're probably going to have at least 3 to 4 games where it's going to be about the size of a donut, right. And we're not going to make anything.
Correct.
And so let's not kid ourselves in that we're not going to hang our hat all of a sudden and make our identity on being a three-point shooting
we're
team.
We're not 2018 Villanova.
We are certainly not quite there yet, but it was a great start for those guys in a fun environment in the field house.
It really was a fun environment, and it was tough last week. You know, we left that Fort Hays State game. There was a lot of questions, and I've never seen that before. Usually the exhibition season happens, you blow somebody out, but it's timing. You know, that second half against Fort Hays, we didn't play very well, and nobody shot it very well. We looked uninspired. There was no energy, no passion. And the last 5 days, and talking to the guys and our coaches, they've been getting after it. And that's not uncommon, as you know, for this time, but to a degree, it was a little aggressive, especially when you take into account we're pretty – thin on numbers. And last night we only had 8 scholarship players. Jamari McDowell was out and Zach is redshirting. So it was 8 guys. And Michael Jankovic got in at the 8-minute mark. And granted, that was partly due to the fact that we were up by 50 at the time. But still, it's fool's gold to a degree. We're not that good of a shooting team, but we're not as bad as we were against Fort Hays State. You know, Nick Timberlake, I'm glad you brought him up because, you know, you and I go to practice a lot, and sometimes Nick will have the ball in the corner. He doesn't shoot it, and Bill will stop everything and say, Nick, why did I recruit you to shoot? Why don't you shoot it when you're open? And then he'll shoot the next 4 times down, and it kind of is in his head. He just needs to play relaxed. The coaches want you to shoot. As a shooter, sometimes if you know the coaches don't have confidence in you, you don't shoot it, right? Our coaching staff has the utmost, and his teammates have the utmost confidence in Nick Timberlake to shoot the ball. That's why he was brought here, just like you said. I thought Johnny Furphy had a nice game.
Yeah,
you know, he hit a couple corner threes, and he just looked comfortable. You know, for an 18-year-old freshman, not halfway across the world, all the way across the world coming over here, you know, and on that flight, that 16-hour flight. So you talk about being away from home. He's away from home. And I love that, you know, he was on a minute restriction the other night, but there – that for whatever reason just had a miraculous recovery. There's no minute restriction, and he was great. You know, he made the right pass. Defensively, I thought he was good. He's so athletic, and just camping out in that corner, you're going to get looks because you have the best point guard in the country that didn't attempt a shot last night and somehow dominated the game in his own way defensively. I mean, he had 10 assists, and he's a pass first, second, and third guy. And he's looking for guys in the corner. He's looking for Johnny, Nick. He's looking for Hunt on a little pick and pop. So we got the makeup of a great team. We're going to learn more on Friday against Manhattan. And then we're going to learn a lot Tuesday in Chicago, a week from tonight. And then we go to the toughest field ever assembled for the Maui/Honolulu Classic in Hawaii in about 10 days. So I love it. I'm glad this happened last night because I think this is a confident team. You're preseason number one and all that, but there were some question marks, I think. And they shut everybody up at least for 24 hours.
Yeah, and yeah, it was really fun to see those guys play the right way even after the game got out of hand point-wise. You know, you don't get, you know, 34, 35 assists just by putting together a good first half. You know, they continued to share the ball, move it from side to side. For the duration of the game, which I thought was very, very impressive. But I got an issue with Juan. I love him to death.
I know what you're going to say.
I love that he wants to share the basketball. Mm-hmm. But the bottom line is we need him to score. Yeah. You remember the stat lines from last year in terms of looking at our success and our success when Juan scores over 10 points.
It was like 22-0 Until yes. the Arkansas game.
Yes, yes, up until the Arkansas game. So even in a game like that, I would prefer for him to be more assertive, to be more of a threat, mm-hmm. just to help him not fall back into thinking that he could turn it on and off. Of course, you know, the opponent last night that we saw wasn't great. Wasn't great, right?
Wasn't great. And their coach admitted it. He's like, hey, we were awestruck. And he, by the way, to talk about Lavelle Mote, he was great. Did you listen to his
post-game? Oh, yeah. No, he's phenomenal. Talk to him at their shoot-around.
And a mentor to Devontae Graham.
Been around great point guards, Raymond Felton, John Wall. And to that point about our point guard, man, we need him to stay engaged offensively with just somewhat of a scoring mindset as we get further and further into the season. So I'm not going to celebrate the zero shot attempts nearly as much as other people are. I get it, and they want to celebrate his unselfishness and his ability to lead in other ways.
Usually you're the positive one. This is kind of negative Wayne.
No. This is just real Wayne, right? This is real, we're talking real basketball right here. Okay, I just need my man to score. Okay. Need 10 points.
And I don't disagree with you. Yes. And I was trying to pull the positive out of it. Because, and that's what Bill said to me after the game in the interview, is like he dominated the game without shooting. But it'd be like in football. If all we did was handed it off to Hyshaw and Devin Neal every time and there was no threat of passing, what do? They put 11 guys on the line and say, all right. So you have to – Juan has to shoot. Agreed. He has to get his float game going. He's got to get to the cup. He's got to draw defenses and pitch. And if there's no threat of him shooting, it's more difficult. I completely agree. But having a point guard like that, we have such a luxury with him because he'll fix it. You know, last night just the situation didn't arise. And when you have 34 assists and 10 turnovers, and I don't know, four of those turnovers were in the last 5 minutes with the Red Rockets. When I refer to them, it's the walk-ons or the red team. They call themselves the Red Rockets just for the viewing public. But when I was playing, I was on the red team a lot. We didn't call ourselves that, but it's a new thing, I guess. Charlie McCarthy.
And they're getting tattoos.
Only one guy got the tattoo, I think, which was Charlie. But, it was a fun night last night. I always enjoy first-timers. I love seeing Hunter's parents, Nick Timberlake's parents, all these parents that and then the players, obviously, they've experienced Fort Hays State, but not in late night. But this is it's a real game, and it was packed as it always is, and getting started like that just helps so much too, because you know you're not just like sitting on the edge of your seat. You're like, all right, we're comfortable, yeah. We're gonna win by a lot. Let's enjoy it.
I think it was incredibly helpful to have El Marco Jackson have to work through playing three fouls in the first quarter uh-huh. or first half, and that's one of the things we always see a lot of freshmen struggle with, is playing without fouling. And a couple of his fouls were just because he was turned up a little bit defensively. Yeah. A couple fouls right there in front of you. Yeah. You guys were making
the first
the call,
one was
which,
terrible. And that was veteran Jerry Pollard. I gave him some credit.
But we need that, because one of the main deficiencies for the two previous exhibition games was lack of energy.
Yeah.
So I'll take fouls in responding to lack of energy, being overly aggressive, and then of course El Marco did some nice things. There were some bursts of speed and athleticism with him getting to the rim. You can see the talent there. You could see why Coach Self and staff were really excited about it. You could see why he was McDonald's All-American. And so I think he's got a high, high ceiling, just working to figure it out early.
And I think another thing I liked was that Dewan only played 24 minutes. And that gave El Marco a chance to be the point guard. There's going to be times throughout the year, hopefully it's not injury, but let's call it foul trouble or whatever, where we need a backup point guard, right? Somebody's going to have to play it, and that's probably going to be El Marco. So yeah. It was a way to ease him into that role, get everything set.
Saw Kevin McCullough at the four a little bit. I don't know if you saw that unit with Parker Brown.
With only nine scholarship players, you're going to see some combinations like that to where – you know, we're going to play a lot of three around two, basically, with KJ and Hunt. But you're also going to see some four around one. You might see some five around none. You might see – he's going to have to adapt just simply because of numbers.
One of those lineups that I saw, that we saw it a couple times early, is when Hunter and KJ Adams are not on the court, who is going to be our rebounding? And that's going to be everybody. It's going to have to be that I'm answering the question. It's got to be a gang rebounding mentality. It can't be like, oh, hey, Kevin will take
care
of
these. You can't leak out. You can't cherry pick.
Parker, he's a five. It's his job to rebound. No, when those two guys, Hunter and KJ, are off the court, rebounding is something that is certainly going to be a priority. You know, otherwise that could cause some trouble against traditional bigs, against an long athletic team. But the good news is, guess what? We're going to keep getting better. Guys are going to keep working. Coach is going to keep coaching, and they'll keep growing and being on a good trajectory.
Yeah, and we shut everybody up for at least the time being on shooting. You know, could come back and bite us.
I don't know if you could say everybody up, because I was one of the ones also saying we can't shoot.
I know, you and I, yeah.
It ain't like it's the people out there. Alba raised my hand and saying, look, man.
Well, numbers don't lie. I mean, I think we were 9 of 40 in the champagne game and the 4 days state game, and then 13 of 23, really about 12 of 20, I think, that were the starters. So fun to watch. Going to be exciting again. Mm-hmm. Big weekend. Mm-hmm. Recap some other sports, golf, men's and women's. Finished up their fall schedule, getting ready for the spring. Men's team just got back from Maui, played over there, and you know, they talked about, you know, the Illinois game, obviously a fundraiser for Maui, and he and Jamie Bermel said, hey, I don't know how they could have had the Maui Classic. It's real. I mean, we've seen the video, and they were over there a little bit past Lahaina into Kanapali, but it's just devastation. So great fundraiser that we were a part of, and we're definitely thinking of the people of Maui. And I'm glad we're still having the tournament, albeit in Honolulu. But other sports, what, volleyball sweeps the Sunflower Showdown at home, first match in five sets, got a little dicey, but man, they were able to persevere. I saw a great video on social media of Ray in the locker room with the girls afterwards, and just so cool to see. I mean, they've had a great season. They had that one loss that is still baffling to all of us. You look at the standings, and Texas Tech is 1-11 with one victory coming against us, but that shows you how it can go sometimes in collegiate sports. But
that could have been the loss that actually kind of got their attention and jarred them enough.
There's the positive, Wayne, I was looking for.
Catalyst for this epic run that they're on as they're closing into the end of their season and eyeballing hosting the NCAA tournament.
I don't know why I'm painting you as a picture of being negative.
It's not Jeff Geltner over here, man. Come
on. A Geltner reference.
Come on, we always talk. Hey, Dave Armstrong, we were all throwing darts at Geltner. He had no reason to be negative Nancy last night. Because
was he negative last
night?
No,
he was great. He was great. He was
my
great.
My mom will watch the pregame show, and sometimes they'll make fun of me for being fat or a bad player or whatever I was. And my mom's like, why is Jeff Elder so mean to you? And I'm like, that's probably because I'm mean to him. Mom,
pump
the brakes.
We love Jeff.
Jeff,
national champion. He's great.
Dave Stewart do such a great job on the pre and post on the television broadcast. Wayne and Stephen Davis on the television broadcast had to be a fun game to call, and right back at it in Manhattan Friday night, Texas Tech football Saturday
morning.
Women's
basketball Wednesday.
Women's basketball tomorrow. So just, you know, we're right in the middle of it all, and it's going to make our lives busy, but it's a fun busy. I wouldn't want it any other way. On a great trajectory right now. Great time to be a Jayhawk. Great time to get involved in being a Jayhawk financially, buying a ticket, whatever. Get to Allen Fieldhouse, get to Memorial Stadium, men's, women's, whatever. And so, again, great time to be a Jayhawk. Great time to be here with you. Another edition of the Jayhawker podcast brought to you by the University of Kansas Health System. Jason Bean was our guest today. He was fantastic. We need him to be fantastic again this weekend, which we know he will be. More and more basketball to come, more and more Jayhawker podcast, great guests. We'll eventually have Coach Self, Coach Leipold. We'll get some other guests outside of the KU community. Love doing this every week with you. Jayhawker podcast, Kansas, University of Kansas Health System, Black and Veatch, Rock Chalk.